Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us now hear the words of the Gospel of Mark.
When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door, outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Thank you.
Bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading Psalm 31. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed. I have become a reproach to all my enemies and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am as useless as a broken pot, for I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness, save me.
Thank you.
seated. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated, and said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even unto death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said,
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as though I were abandoned? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Someone stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying,
"We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple with its inhabitants, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'"
But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, but he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
Jesus said,
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, but he denied it, saying, and he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders. But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
sir, we are also like him. We are like him.
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath. At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him,
before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times.
And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, he answered him,
you say so.
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, but Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, for he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, they shouted back, Pilate asked them, but they shouted all the more. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him. They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Ah, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
"He saved others.
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,"
which means,
"My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly his hand was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. My friend Brad was in seminary when his little girl was diagnosed with leukemia. She was 4 years old. Her name was Lydia. The seminary immediately started raising money to help them with all the medical bills as they sought the best doctors they could find. His friends and teachers brought meals to their apartment. But Lydia got very sick very quickly. And soon Brad realized that he had to stop being in seminary for a while. He had to take a leave of absence so he could take care of his little girl, because his wife needed to keep working and make money to pay all these bills that were coming in. So Brad dropped out of seminary and stayed with his little girl. They were in and out of the hospital so much, and sometimes, especially when they were going to put a needle in her arm, she would look at her dad with these big blue eyes and say, "Daddy, I'm scared." And he would say, "I'm right here, honey. I'm right here." They tried everything, but she was getting weaker. So Brad started to talk to her more about Jesus and how much Jesus loved her, and that when she was scared, Jesus would hold her, that he would take her hand. It was early in the afternoon one day, and Brad was sitting by her bedside and holding her hand, and Lydia looked at him with her beautiful blue eyes and said, "Daddy, I love you." And then she closed her eyes. And she was gone. And Brad said at that moment when she left him, he felt that God left too. You see, he had prayed so hard. He had begged God to let his little girl stay with him. He wanted to see her go on her first date. He wanted to see her go to the prom. He wanted to be there for her wedding. He wanted to hold her children. And now, when she was gone, he felt that God was gone too. And that he was totally alone. After the funeral was over and all the people and all the chaos had finally stopped, Brad just went to bed. He didn't think he could go back to seminary. How could he be a priest if he didn't think God was around, if he didn't even know that God existed? So he went to bed. In the Gospel of Mark, the story of Jesus' passion is a full third of the Gospel. And Mark tells the story, and Jesus does so much in the first two-thirds of his Gospel. Jesus moves here and there. There are all these crowds, and he heals, and he teaches, and he prays. He performs miracles. Everything seems to happen. Boom, boom, boom. And Jesus rides into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, and people are waving palms. And then it's as if everything goes into slow motion. Mark, who has written of Jesus moving around so fast, all of a sudden, everything slows way down, and we hear about every place that Jesus goes, every word that he says. And Jesus just gets quieter and quieter and quieter. You know, the passion is really a process of abandonment. Jesus starts off with all these people around him waving palms. And then just a few days later, it's only his friends who are gathered at dinner. And then Judas leaves. And they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and some of them don't come with him there. And then he starts praying and asking God, please take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. And God, who has answered him aloud in the Gospel of Mark, is completely silent. And you hear nothing, no answer. And Jesus asks the disciples, please stay awake with me, but they can't stay awake. And he's left alone, questioning God and hearing nothing. And when he's captured, he's left alone to be beaten, left alone to be interrogated, and left alone to hang naked on the cross for everyone to see. And his very last words were a prayer. My God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why have you left me alone? Jesus, the Son of God, felt that God had left him. But had God left? Don't you know that even in your darkest moments, when it seems like there's no hope at all, when God has not answered a single prayer of yours, don't you know that God is still there? If we look to the cross, we can see it, that it was at that moment when Jesus felt so alone that God was doing his best work. That was it. And it's those times when you're in the pit of despair, when you feel totally abandoned, that you're not alone. You may feel alone, but that's just a feeling. God made you, and God does not leave you. Just as God did not leave Jesus. So Brad was in bed, and he refused to get out of bed. What was he going to do? His future looked like a desert to him. And then early one morning, Brad had a dream. In his dream, Jesus took Lydia by the hand, and together they flew. And they got to do everything. Jesus took her on her first date. She got to go on her first date. She got to buy her prom dress. She got to walk down the aisle at her wedding. She got to have children. And it was like the presence of God flooded into Brad's heart again, and he realized that she was not missing a single thing. That with God, she would experience everything and more than she could experience here, more than he could ever imagine. And he realized that he wasn't alone, that he had never been alone. I want you to remember that no matter how hard life gets, and no matter if you can hear God's answer or if God leaves you waiting, remember this: you are not alone. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. Such a joy to look out and see all your good faces, you beautiful people. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift. But you have to hold your hand up so we can find you and keep it up until the gift arrives. There's also some little forms in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. Welcome, welcome. I want to say a special thank you. So many people came here yesterday to help decorate this beautiful church, our Sanctuary Guild. Look what they did. Isn't it beautiful in here? Wow. And our lay weeders, we call them, not lay readers, but lay weeders, were here. They mulched every single bed all around the cathedral yesterday. And the crosses that you're wearing were made by our teenagers. They were made by our youth yesterday. So cherish those crosses. It took them hours. They made 700 crosses. We gave them to little churches around the area as well. So thank you to our teenagers. Good job. This begins Holy Week, which is the holiest season of the Christian year, and all over the world, Christians will be worshiping. There is a schedule of services in your bulletin, and I do encourage you, as hard as it is to walk with Jesus through this passion, It makes the resurrection mean so much more. So I encourage you to take part in our services. On Tuesday, we have a healing service for those who are struggling or grieving during this time. On Wednesday, we have a Seder dinner in which we relive the Passover, the last meal that Jesus had. Maundy Thursday begins the Triduum, the three holy days. We remember the Last Supper, and then we process the sacrament into Cummings Chapel, and we do the watch. So all over the world, Christians try to stay awake because we messed up and fell asleep, right? So now we try to get it right. And if you go outside of Ingram Lounge, you will see that there are two sign-up sheets. You can sign up to come and pray in Cummings Chapel all night. You sign up in half-hour increments. Or you can do the long-distance watch, I call it. You can pray in your own home, because I know it's scary for some of you to come out in the middle of the night. But as long as you vow to pray for the time that you sign up, then the body of Christ will be awake all night that night. So please do sign up for the watch. On Good Friday, we have a special service for children at 10 o'clock in the morning that is very beautiful. From noon to 3, we will be preaching on Jesus' 7 last words as he hung on the cross. And then at 7 in the evening, Tim Tuller plays a beautiful Stations of the Cross on the organ. And then finally, on Easter Sunday, our first service is as the sun rises at 6. We will be baptizing. And then we have services at 9 and 11:15. Breakfast, a full breakfast, starts at 7:30. And there's an Easter egg hunt, too. But you have to be 7 years or younger. Sorry, bigger kids, but you take all the eggs. So 7 or under, you're welcome to go and find some Easter eggs. And on Saturday, if you want to come and help us decorate this beautiful church with flowers, we welcome everyone who wants to come. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation. In the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him, you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him, you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we pray.
offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us.
Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.